Okay, this is part 49 of a 49-part series. Thank you for staying with me if you've been listening. I'll probably put out something very briefly tomorrow, just Erev Yom Tov. But I talked yesterday about the Brisker Derech and trying to define it for people who haven't really been exposed to it. I want to talk about another development in the Torah world. And I think people in Israel are a little more familiar with it. People in Chutz Lartz are probably a little less familiar with it, again, depending on which community you live in, which you're exposed to. But again, I want to explain it for people who are outsiders and people who are insiders, for both, inside out. And that is the Tanakh Revolution. Everyone knows, I think, there's a major, especially in Eretz Yisrael, revival of interest in Tanakh. To a degree, I think people know that the reason the Tanakh study was neglected for so long. Again, there are many internal reasons, but certainly externally, and there's always both internal and external reasons. Nothing is either one or the other. Is once other religions, in particular Christianity, adopted Tanakh, appropriated Tanakh, hijacked Tanakh, and transformed it into something else for their own typological religious readings, a lot of Orthodox Jews felt, this is not something we're comfortable with, and again, all it takes is one or two generations to halt the study of Tanakh, and then you lose your Masorah. You could be the biggest Gadol HaDor and know Shas backwards and forwards if you don't have a Rebbe to teach Tanakh. In most cases, again, you can study it on your own, but you tend not to be interested. You follow your Rebbe's directions, you follow your Rebbe's guidance. And so it just took one or two generations. Of course, there were internal reasons. Chazal always wanted to limit Tanakh learning to encourage halachic learning, but we definitely lost a tradition, and we certainly have rebuilt a tradition over the last 100 years, 150 years, with the return to Eretz Yisrael, renewed presence in the land of history, renewed interest in the book of Jewish history. In part, the growing field of Jewish academics, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, the style of Tanakh. But people are also familiar to one degree or another, not just of a revival of Tanakh learning, but a slightly different way of studying Tanakh. It's not as if everyone who's studying Tanakh, especially in Eretz Yisrael, is opening. I don't remember if you had those small little Tanakhs we got when we were young, about the size of a Kindle, let's say, and had a tannish binding, and we got each section Yehoshua and Shmuel Aleph, and we read through Rashi, and we read through Metzidas Tzion and Metzidas David, and that's not the way people are studying Tanakh. So some are aware of them of what they're doing. They're not aware of why they're doing it, and I think some people just aren't even aware. They hear all sorts of rumors and stereotypes, and so I want to try to clear some of the smoke. So let's preface this by saying there really are two ways to read texts. There's the normal way that you and I would read any text, and we'd read it in a way that I would call holistically. You read the entire chapter. You read the entire book, which is composed of chapters. You read the entire letter. You read the entire WhatsApp. So essentially, you're not reading letters and words. You're reading large chunks, and you're drawing large scale messages from whatever text you're reading. That's called the holistic way of reading. Now the other way to read a text is what I would call the deconstructionist method, in which deconstruction is a modern approach to literature. Those who are interested, the father of modern deconstructionism is Jacques Derrida, but I studied a little bit of him in graduate school. I've heard of him, didn't really study much, but I certainly was exposed to some of his thinking. Is where you take the chapter and you break it down to sentences, and you take the sentence and break it down to words, and you take the words and break it down to letters, and you ask, why was this letter inserted there rather than here? Why is this phrase? So you're not reading the entire paragraph to get broad-based information about the characters, the message, and the plot, but you're deconstructing the text into constituent elements, each of which symbolizes some message or some idea. Now, in a very general sense, our Chazal were deconstructionists. Namely, they broke apart the Pasuk in the Torah, and anyone that's had any even basic exposure to Gemara sees this. Why the extra yod? Why the extra vav? Why the repetition? Why the extra hey? Why the extra word? Why is it said here as opposed to there? How to make a gzeirah shavah? So you're dealing with words and letters and repetitions that sometimes are very detached from what you and I would call the literary holistic reading of just reading at a literary level. And that's, of course, because Chazal were filling in an entirely different plane or many different planes of meaning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainly capable, right? Deconstructionists assume that Lahavdil Shakespeare was artful and crafty enough not just to convey messages by the overall play that he wrote, or the overall poem, but by the letter interplay and by the conjugation of the sentence and the sequence of the sentence. So Lahavdil Elavei Havdalah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is capable, of course, of writing a document that can, which we call the Torah, which can be read at a literal level and can be read at many, many different layers. It can be deconstructed to, as in each of these extra little textual elements or codes for larger meanings of halacha. And of course, if there's a clash between the literal meaning and the halachic coded extrapolation, of course, when it comes to halacha, we follow Chazal. But Chazal weren't saying this is the only way to read the pasuk. Chazal were saying this is a way you wouldn't come to on your own without our Masorah. But they assumed that we'd also read Tanakh, the parts that we can understand. What is the pasuk saying? What's the story? What happened? What happened to us? What happened to, weren't just, these psukim are not just meant to be chopped apart and broken down to small little pieces as codes for larger ideas. So there was always the multiple ways to read. And the two general different approaches would be what I would call holistic and literary and deconstructionist. Now, what happened was, because of Chazal's influence and Baruch Hashem, and because of the retreat from Tanakh study, so even those who did read Tanakh, we felt a lot safer, let me put it that way, seeing Tanakh through the lenses of Chazal, through the Midrashim, through the Mefarshim, which of course were based in the Midrashim. And of course, there's certain Svarim which naturally lend themselves to being completely divorced from any storyline. Like one could say Tehillim. Tehillim is just sentence by sentence, religious expressions. Mishlei, proverb by proverb. Shir Hashirim, who knows what's happening between the man and the woman? Just all codes for our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and ignore what's happening in the story and just read each phrase and each line. So we developed this very, very intense, almost exclusive deconstructionism. And what has happened in Eretz Yisrael in particular over the last 100-150 years is there's been a swing back to holistic reading, not just to break. It's not just, people mistake this, to read it not like Chazal read it. It's not meant to read it not like Chazal read it or into Chazal, Chaz V'Shalom. It's just to read in a way that Chazal were primarily not involved in most cases. Most of their interpretations were reading drushos into the letters and the words. And how can we read Tanakh and read it as if I'm just reading, not that it's a book, but as if I'm just reading the story because HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended it to be read that way also. And how can I read the stories in large, large segments? So it's not line by line, word by word, letter by letter, but what is this section of Yirmiyah? How does it differ from this section of Yirmiyah? How does Rus compare to Eov? How does Shoftim compare to, how does this part of Tehillim compare to this part of Divrei Hayamim? How does this mention of Eved Kenani in the Torah differ from that mention of Kenani? What are the themes that are being conveyed by the tone, the mood, the wordplay, the overall sense, the frequency of words? So just things that you just don't have in Chazal. That's normally called Begova Einayim in Israel. Begova Einayim is called, you know, at eye level. So basically it's you and the text, you and Tanakh, and you don't only stream it through Chazal's filters or Chazal's interfaces. Now, this has been very controversial, and it should be, because there are many, many dangers. First of all, it's just the danger of intellectual arrogance. Everyone likes to make a chiddush. Everyone likes to be heard. So anytime you're empowering yourself to read, you have to ask yourself, are you serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get to a deeper truth? And I have to admit that I'm someone who's in this world. That's not my expertise. Not like I spend all my time teaching Tanakh, but I study Tanakh that way. I give lectures and shiurim like that in Tanakh. Sometimes when I hear people, I just don't, again, I'm not judging other people. Maybe at their tone there is, but for me at least, it's hard for me to walk away feeling that there's been Yiras Shamayim in this process, that this is an attempt to draw close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which has to be the yardstick for all Talmud Torah. Now, you shouldn't judge people's Yiras Shamayim. There's no Yiras Shamayim thermometer. And some people may receive Yiras Shamayim through the Torah study in ways that you find odd and you find different from yours. But for me, sometimes, if I choose not to go to the shiur, sometimes when I hear the shiur, I just feel like it's more about self-expression, creativity, rather than trying to get at the heart of the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, because you feel that pursuing the emes of Hashem is part of your avodas Hashem. And of course, the other danger, a little bit related but the same, is this a supplement to Chazal? As I tried to portray it, we said, look, Chazal had a certain agenda in mind, agenda, but a certain literary approach, assuming that they didn't have to flesh out the simple reading, have to tell us how to read, especially since everyone spoke Hebrew. And now we're restoring that because Chazal was so, as they should be, so popular and so dominant that we're so committed to Chazal that we almost forgot that you can read a text without Chazal in a sincere and pious fashion in a way that increases our reverence of Chazal. Wow, they're so authoritative and powerful in our life that they almost convinced us this is the only way to read, even though the average person on the street would never read it that way because it's deconstructionist reading. But we're so dedicated to Chazal that we accept that reading. But now, by the way, there's other truths that we can gain from more literary, common ways to read the text. It's funny, when there's a Tanakh study week in the Gush every year, and I like seeing, because it attracts thousands and thousands of people, but there are some people who I wouldn't place in these Tanakh study weeks. They come, they seem to come from a different world, the way they dress. They seem to come from a more Haredi background. Some of these people I know who are rabbanim in the Haredi world. And I never ask them, but I have a lot of respect for them because I imagine if I climbed into their mind, they would probably be justifying in a way that I just tried to project, that I'm not running away from Chazal. Of course, the ultimate is to merge the two, where you're able to detect in the text, in the literal reading, certain indicators, oh, that's how Chazal got to how they got to their conclusions. It wasn't just based on the Masara they received, but look, I've uncovered textual elements by reading it differently, holistically, because no matter how different the readings are, they're going to converge. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is going to be convergent and unified and indivisible, not fragmented and fractured. Anyway, I hope this clears some of the smoke and gives something to think about Erev Shavuos.